prophetess Olivia Kofi Opata stands in the office of a prophet and evangelist with outstanding signs and miracles of healings that are associated with her ministry. One of the common testimonies after listening to her preach or teach is the revelation of the word and the opening of eyes to common spiritual truths that are almost startling. Hear her.
Tonight, God has prepared a special servant, very anointed. Somebody, you see, we are very privileged that we can even make such requests for her to be here with us. Because she's somebody who is sought after, not only in Nigeria, not only in Ghana, but in the world. In the whole world. In the whole wide world. Amen. I didn't say wild world, I said the whole wide world. Amen. She's very much sought after because of the oil that is upon her. Because of the anointing that is upon her. The anointing attracts. Amen. And she has an international ministry. Hallelujah. I said she has a what? An international ministry. Amen. Next time you hear from her, she'll be ministering in America and places like that. She'll be ministering in Switzerland. Hallelujah. So it's not a small person who is here. She's been anointed since she was a teenager. And the Lord has used her tremendously for years. Hallelujah. And the Lord continues to use her powerfully in the Healing Jesus Crusades, in the, what do you call the morning programs? The power conferences. Hallelujah. Miracles galore. Even ministrations in this place, a lot of people have received miracles through a powerful ministration in this place. Amen. Amen. I will not tell you the miracle I received from her, but I know the miracle I received from her. Wow. Amen. Amen. I say what? I know because I saw it in a book. I saw the miracle in a book. Wow. And I said, this miracle, I want to get it from her. And I got it. Wow. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
And tonight, I know that God has something special for you.
Amen.
The fact that this year is your year of greatness means that every service, every opportunity that you get, you have to tap into it because you're on your way to greatness.
Amen.
And this night may be the night where your greatness will unfold. I said, this night may be your night where your greatness will manifest.
Amen.
So as you are here tonight, I say, I want you to open your heart. Amen.
Amen.
There are so many things on your mind, money and things, a lot of things on your mind. But so open your heart. Because when it enters the heart, the devil cannot steal it from there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So tonight you want to believe God that you are going to understand with your heart.
Amen.
You are going to understand with the spirit man that is inside of you.
Amen.
But you are going to receive whatever God has for you. Everything she will say, decide that it is specifically for you. If it's a you fool, decide that it is for you. Amen.
Amen.
Because maybe your foolishness is about to be turned into something good. Into a blessing. So tonight, God has prepared a servant for us who is coming to minister to us. And I believe strongly that your testimony will manifest tonight.
Amen.
I want you to rise on your feet and receive Prophetess Olivia Kofi Opata. Oh, give a shout to Jesus. I said a shout to Jesus. I said a shout to Jesus. The louder your shout, the better your blessing tonight. I say the louder your shout, the better your blessing tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm receiving mine right from here.
Hallelujah. Oh, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Stella, help me, Stella. Can you come and help me? Victor, where are you?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I asked her to prepare a song. And I want us to, I'm sure that many of us know how to sing it. The original song says, I simply live for you. But I just made a little adjustment and I said, we should sing it, I simply live in you. Amen. Because in him, we live and move and have our being. Amen. So, shall we lift up our hands as we sing to the Lord.
Say the word, and I will sing for you. All the oceans deep, I will follow.
If each star was a song,
if each star was a song, and every breath of wind, it would still fail. To say, all my heart contains,
I simply live in you.
I simply live in you.
Let's sing it again. Say the word. Come on.
Say the word, and I will sing for you. And I will sing for you.
Over
oceans deep, I will follow. If this power's a song, and every breath of wind prays,
will still favor that.
It will still fail my fire to say, all my heart contains.
I simply live. Come on.
Breath of wind prays. Glory, come on. As the glory of your presence now fills this place.
In Christ Jesus, we see you face to face.
There is nothing in this world to which you can be compared.
Glory on glory. Praise upon praise. You bind the broken
hearted
and save all my tears by your word. You set the captives free. There is nothing
There is nothing in this world that you cannot do.
Oh, I simply live. I simply live in you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We are so grateful tonight. Over oceans deep, we will follow you. Ephesians 3:5-30 says, you are, we are the members of your body, of your bones and of your flesh. Bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. Jesus Christ. This morning, your people are here. And as we stand here, oh Jesus, thank you that we are one with you. And therefore the Father sees us as he sees you. There is no difference between us. Thank you that you raised your voice when you stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, Father, I thank you because you hear my voice. You listen to me. So as we raise our voices to talk to you, thank you that you hear us. As you hear Jesus in the same capacity, in the same capacity. This morning, thank you that you are here. You live in us. You live in us. And your abiding presence is in us. We will never be the same again. Never the same again. Never the same again. Never the same again. No chain can hold Jesus. No chain can hold Jesus. In the same way, there is no chain that can hold any one of us. And even those who are hearing and watching in the name of Jesus on the net, thank you that today there will be no chain that can hold them. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. What is not found in Christ will not be found in us. What cannot be found in Jesus will not be found in us. Anything which is not of Jesus, thank you that this morning that thing has lost its hold over our lives forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus, that we experience your victory tonight. We give you the praise. We honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Shall we be seated in the presence of God? Hallelujah. It's a glorious time, very short, and yet. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I'm very excited about this morning. Amen. Are you excited? I cannot hear. Are you excited? Hallelujah. I love the song. He says, over oceans deep, I will follow. Hallelujah. Over oceans deep, I will follow. And when I think of that song, I think of Bishop Dagwood Mills. And I think of the way he goes over oceans to be able to spread the gospel. He is following hard after God. Even over oceans deep. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes you take such things for granted until you see that there are others who over oceans deep follow to do the assignment of Satan. Yes. That is when you begin to appreciate what God has done for you. Amen. So I expected that when I talked about our presiding bishop and that over oceans deep he follows, I expected you to clap your hands. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Recently, we were watching TV, and there was this lady who was talking. In fact, it was a pastor who was praying for her because she had a situation. She was going to court, and they were going to jail her. And what was she doing? Over oceans deep, she was taking young Nigerian women, sending them all the way to Dubai. What were they going to do? Prostitution. Yes. So people pay reverse tickets, fly all over oceans to do the assignment of the devil. Yes. Pay the plane fare. Sit in the plane. Fly over oceans just to fulfill the assignment of Satan. So when over oceans deep, you are following the Lord. It is a big blessing. Have we not seen several times how people will take bumps on themselves? Over oceans deep, they will go to a mall. They stand there, speak something in Arabic, and then the boom, and kills hundreds of people. Over oceans deep, they are also following the assignment. So we bless God for the life of Presiding Bishop Dagwood Mills. And all the things he's doing in this world to change our world. Creating denominations, healing Jesus campaign, the books, and they are going over oceans. Amen. And not only that, but we also have in Nigeria one man. Hallelujah. Who has also crossed oceans to come from his zone of comfort to be here in Nigeria and to take up the mantle of leadership. Hallelujah. To take up the mantle of leadership and to do this way. Right now in Nigeria, we have two cathedrals. Look at this loyalty cathedral. Just look. Just look at the beauty. And put your hands together for Jesus. And give a mighty shout. Hallelujah. It's exciting. Thank you, Bishop Nee. Thank you for being God's voice and doing this work. Amen. Hallelujah. And not only that, but he's also got a beautiful neck. That turns so gently. You know, one of our young men from Abuja moved to Lagos and he was very tired when he came. Then when he arrived in Ekpe, he said to me, "Hey, mommy," I said, "What?" He said, "I ate some fried egg. I've never eaten anything like that in my world." spices on top. Well, I've never eaten anything like that. Hospitality. Put your hands together for Lady Pastor Adele. Adu. Achadu. Alma. Hallelujah. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Lady Pastor Adele, for being such a good example to the women. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you so much, all the pastors, reverends, LMs, shepherds, everybody who is contributing, the uncles who are also elders helping out. God bless you all for the good work you're doing. We know that you'll be rewarded. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And finally, and not the least, hallelujah, I want to say, you know, it is the grace of God. I don't deserve him. I didn't earn him. It's God who gave it to me. My husband is a gift to me. Because there are countless women who are gifted and have a calling on their lives. Their spouses cannot, because it's a lot of sacrifice to be able to release your wife and let her go all over the world. It is not an easy thing. It's not a cheap job at all. Oh, Auntie Elsie, she called me when I was outside of this country and she kept talking, said, "Your husband is such a gift. I appreciate him." I said, "I appreciate him. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Reverend Alex, for all the sacrifices. Thank you. Yes, I appreciate you. I should even do sir. Yes, amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I know that somebody here is saying, look at that. Somebody here will say, you see, when you have a good man, that's when you can move forward. If you don't have a good man, God, what are you doing about me? Yes, and that is it. That is the balance. The balance is that if you are a lizard and you get married, you can never change. You're already that. You are a lizard. You cannot become a crocodile. It's not the husband who is coming into your life to make a difference in your life. You yourself, you must have that thing in you already. Hallelujah. Amen. Look, because there are people who are married, and I'm telling you, if you're a single woman or a widow, don't rush into any kind of marriage. Don't take anybody because, oh, you want to have a ring, I want to be a missus. No. Because there are married women who would give anything to exchange places with you. Yes. To exchange. In fact, if they will say, come, you come and take over my marriage for me. Come and take my place. I even promise you, this year, my whole salary, I'll give it to you. Yes, there are people like that. You just take my salary and take the man too. So appreciate what God has done in your life. Although you are single. Amen. You don't have to cry. It's not a man who comes into your life to make you whole. The thing must be in you already. And that's why all the time we laugh at it. Because when Reverend Alex was coming to marry me, he said he had prayed and said, Lord, I want somebody who can pray. I just hate it when, you know, the man is up and praying. And look, when I'm with Lady Pastor, I watch her. In the morning, sometimes I'll go to the hall. So I'm going through to get water in the kitchen. I will find her sitting in the hall. What's she doing? She has her iPad and she's reading her own Bible. The man cannot read the Bible for you. He cannot do the prayer for you. You must do it yourself. Hallelujah! I'm sure I'm helping somebody here. I think I'm helping somebody here. Amen! He cannot do that for you. You must have your own personal relationship with God. Vibrant personal relationship. Hallelujah. It's real. What I'm saying is so real. So, and it's necessary. Amen. So you yourself, you must be prepared before the man comes. Or you, the man, you must be prepared before the woman comes. So when my husband said it was a test, I didn't know. And we have a prayer garden in Ghana. So he said, oh, please, let's today. I want us to pray. And it was a test. I didn't know. If I was that type that I'll pray, oh God. And then you are tired and you want to sit down. This one, there are no chairs there. So you stand. And it was a test. He didn't want to take me to a church or somewhere where I could sit down. So watch what kind of woman I'm marrying. It's very important. Some people will not do this one. Rather, you'll be unzipping. Instead of researching, you are researching in the wrong places. So, you won't know the man. You won't know the woman you are marrying because you are caught up in something else. So, I beg mercy. So, here we were. So, he gave the prayer topic. And I'm used to praying 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, non-stop. In fact, at one time, I remember that in school, in the university, we had a prayer chain. And I was supposed to supervise it. People were unfaithful. And that was the day I realized that people don't like to pray. I was shocked. Because we had scheduled. 5 people were coming. 10 people. I stood there. Sometimes nobody. And I said, I want to close the gap. So I was there from morning till evening. When the last batch came, they saw me standing. They couldn't believe it. I didn't even know that they began to spread it. So my husband and I were praying. Hey, 1 hour, he was watching. 2 hours, 3 hours. Hey, now he was tired. So now it was a decision between his pastor. He and his pastor had said, no, test the girl, let's see what kind of person. So he went back and said, pastor, the woman is a prayer machine. It was so nice. It was so nice. Then I had an invitation to preach, and he didn't know that. I mean, so I said, oh, please, can you go somewhere? We said, where? I said, oh, there's a program. He said, okay. So he drove me to the place. He didn't know. I was so quiet. I didn't want to say, oh, you know, I'm like this, you know, I'm that type. No. Leave it and let him see it. So we're driving. We're getting close to the place. My husband looked up. Here was a banner from one end of the road to the other. Ah, what is that? Speaker, Olivia Nyaku. That was my surname. He said, hey, are you the one from the banner? It was too nice. When we arrived, here were protocol officers ready to receive me. Hey, the crowd, he was shocked. He said, you main speaker. Hey. And God, you know, when it is time like that, when your time is up, you know, he would do show. He would display. When you have a relationship with him, you call him Father. So by the time you say Father, things are happening. That day it was too nice. When I did altar call, just altar call, but I felt in my spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, meet the people as they come. So as the people were coming, Holy Spirit, meet the people as they come. As they were coming, they were falling. Blah, 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 blah. All the people were, and when they fall, then they open their mouth and begin to speak in tongues. Every single one person who gave his life to Christ was speaking in tongues on the floor. Hey. My husband went back to his pastor and said, the woman is the girl is not a simple thing. So please, be it. Be it. Amen. Amen. Be it. And that brings me to what I'm going to preach tonight. Because you realize that we hear the word. We hear. We hear and hear and hear. And it takes years. Sometimes decades. Do you know that Acts of the Apostles, from the time they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 till Paul's time, do you know it was about 40 years? Yes, 40 years. 40 years, and even Peter himself was still struggling with eating with Gentiles. Hey. When the word of God comes to us, the word of God will be effective if we make adjustments. That is what we're supposed to do. So let's go to James chapter 1 verse 22 and see what is written in James chapter 1 22. He says, and be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. 23. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, see, he says, you are like a man beholding his face in a glass. And it's old English. So in a mirror, you are like a man who is looking at his natural face, physical face in a mirror. 24, for he beholded himself and didn't do anything when he saw himself, What did he do? He just went away. Goeth his way. His own way. His own way of doing things. And straight away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. The last verse, 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, hallelujah, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Not of the word, but of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Say, I am that man. Oh, say, I am that man. Say, I've got the ability to do the adjustments. Divine adjustments. Divine alterations. I am that man. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Yes. You are that man. You are that man. So, here you are. When you're going out, every one of us, unless you had no light in your house, even that one, you go and take torchlight. And what do? You stand in the mirror. Because the way you woke up is not how you are sitting here. Who can tell me that the way you woke up is how you're sitting here? There is nobody like that. Some of us woke up with something here. Some of us woke up with something in between. We woke up. Some of us, the hair we are wearing is not our own. So when you are going to sleep, you remove your hair so you can sleep in your hair. Some of us are eyelashes. We have to. know the woman you are marrying. Oh. Know your woman. Daddy has a book. Know your man. Know your woman. Hallelujah. So what did you do? You did adjustments. Adjust. Even right now, there are lifts up. Yes, 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 yes. Adjustments. Because a woman feels she's too slim down there. So she wears something that boosts. It's a booster. Booster. Booster at the back. Booster. Hallelujah! So we do these physical things. But when it comes to the word of God, let me tell you, you are not the only one who is experiencing. The disciples did the same thing. It's amazing. They did the same thing. They physically, 3.5 years, walked with Jesus. But they repeated the same mistake. They heard, you hear through the word, they heard him open his mouth and speak to them. And yet they made the same mistake of hearing the word and not adjusting. And not adjusting. So what happened to them? The first thing that will happen to you when you open the mirror of the word is that you see Jesus Christ. You see Jesus Christ. Now let me show you what has happened. Any man who accepts Jesus as Lord and personal Savior and is born again, something happens to your spirit. Your spirit is totally born again. I like the way Benny Hinn explained it the other time. He said that you have a bottle of water and another bottle of water, okay, some 2 bottles of water. Then he said, you pour, okay, that is it. In a glass. Yeah. So we had a glass. Do you have a glass? Yeah. And he said that you pour this, some of this, and some of that into that. Can you separate them? No. Can you separate them? Look, I heard a story of a guy who slept with a lady. The lady became pregnant. When they said, now marry. Okay, good. We can't see. That's the thing. So a plain glass would have been. He was, yeah, that's what I thought. You add some of this. Yeah, that's it. So can you separate them? No. okay, maybe this one came down or is in the middle. Or it's impossible. And he was saying that when you become born again, the Holy Spirit enters you. And when he enters you, you are inseparable. That's why I quoted Ephesians 5:30. God says, you are members of his body. Of his, because when he said of his body, some of us say figuratively. He said no, of his flesh and of his bones. And remember, Jesus had to shed all his blood. So he was without the blood, but he still had the flesh and the bones. And we are the flesh and the bones. Hallelujah! So, your spirit is now the spirit of God. And remember, if you are in this church, you know the bishop has taught us, man is a spirit, has a soul, lives in a body. Or you are three beings. You are spirit, you are the soul, and you live in a body. So all these three things come together to make you the man. Paul said that when my spirit leaves my body, he said, my spirit will be naked and my body will be dead. Hallelujah. So, we our spirits are born again and are perfect. In fact, when God sees Jesus, he cannot see the difference between you and Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. Hallelujah. So your spirit is perfect. But the thing is this. You are, as your soul is not touched. Your soul is the same. And your body is the same. So it's a perfect thing which is living in an imperfect thing. And so Christianity is how you adjust the soul so that it can pattern itself after your spirit. What are you going to do? There are alterations to be done. You have to alter. Cut off this. You have to do it in bits. In bits. Anytime. You face the mirror of the word, then it's time to do adjustments, alteration. If we don't alter, you see, you will be with people, you will preach for 10 years, and when you look at them, you as a pastor, your heart is breaking. It's like, what kind of thing is this? You, when I came to this church, how I met you is how you are. And it's like, as if the pastor is not anointed. No! The people are not adjusting. They are not making the necessary adjustments. Because they are not adjusting, you will never... So, you will see somebody who is 10 years in the Lord. And the person is still a baby Christian. Always crying. This one has done this to me. You know how babies cry. Always crying. You have to change his diapers. 10 years old. Ah! Hallelujah. So this divine adjustment is so important. It is critical if we are ever going to move on. And in fact, on Sunday, I will show you how Peter, you will see them. Peter, the adjustment he made. You will see how Philip, the adjustment he made. You will see Paul, the adjustment you made. And you realize that the ones who adjusted more, they were able to do more. Hallelujah. God has done his work. Your spirit is finished with it. It is you who need to renew your mind. Renew your mind. Hallelujah. So now, when you look at what happened to the disciples, Jesus told them, the Son of Man must suffer and die. He will suffer and he will die. He said it several times. When you go to Matthew 16, he said it to them, verse 21. He said it to them. He said, I will die and I will rise again. From that time forth, began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus said it plainly to them. I will suffer. I will die. I will go to Jerusalem. And I will be killed and I will rise again on the third day. Now, when 6 days later, when he said this, he took the three, PJJ, to the mountain of transfiguration. When they came down, Jesus said it again in Matthew 17. Go there. Matthew 17. He said that one too. 22 and 23. He said, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. 23. And they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So did they hear him? They did. They heard him. They were even sorry. How do we know what happened? Immediately Jesus was arrested. What happened to them? They fled. They ran away. They scattered. Even Peter, who was there like the leader, he denied Jesus 3 times. They ran away. And not only that, but on the third day, when Jesus said, I'll rise again, the women gathered spices to go and spice him up. To die well, yes. They went to spice him up. They went there to the tomb. So let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And then what? And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. 4. And it came to pass, as they were what? Much perplexed that he told you, you heard from the lips of Jesus, he said, I will die and I will rise again on the third day. And yet they were surprised, amazed, perplexed, confused. They didn't know what was happening. Is it true that Jesus spoke to them? He explained to them, he told them. And yet, why are they perplexed? Why are they confused? Because when they heard, they didn't do the adjustments. If they had done the adjustment, they should have gone on the third day with palm branches, Hosanna, and be shouting, he is risen. He is risen. And I'm telling you, this is what is happening. In fact, if it was in our time, and Jesus said, I will die and I'll rise again, and we're doing this, perhaps we'll even do a concert for Jesus, for the burial of Jesus. And you will see, we have big choirs that will come together, who will be rehearsing, bye-bye Jesus, bye-bye, bye. They will rehearse 10 hours, 20 hours, over nonsense song. Bye-bye Jesus, bye-bye Jesus. And if you tell them, why are you saying bye-bye Jesus? Remember, the word of God says, on the third day he will rise again. They'll say, you see, these are the people we don't like. We are human beings. Are we not human? We should be able to express ourselves. I'm only human. We are only human. What can we do? We must express ourselves. It is not true. You are supposed to make adjustments when you hear the word of God. Oh, say, I will make those adjustments. Say, I will make them. I will make them. From today, I am making them. I am, some of you, as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is prompting you and pulling you and say, you see, you hear, that's what I've been talking to you. Some of you are here. He's talking to you already. He is already talking to you. Hallelujah! Somebody who does not pay his tithe is talking to you right now. Yes! Yes! You come and you sit here nicely. But you enjoy and wipe your mouth and go away. You have to make that adjustment. Yes, maybe the money you think is not enough, or you think, oh, this year have projects. No. You have to make the adjustment. You have to make the adjustment. Hallelujah. They will sing bye bye Jesus. We will even go and get somebody, you know, one of these popular people who sing, how do they call those ones who sing bye bye Jesus? Those type who will come and add to it. It's artists, soloists. Wild one. And in fact, they can even win Grammy Award for that song. That song. Talented solo artist. My husband says talented. Yes. And we in fact, if you try and touch those things, we'll say, no, leave them alone. They are traditions. They are things we do. Religion is eating us up. Religion, I'm telling you, this kind of Christianity, for us to go forward, we must break away from some things. Even some songs, we must not sing them again. Because the more we sing them, the more we sink. Yes. They are not word based. They are not word based. I'm telling you. We say, Lord, we come into your presence. Anytime I hear, I say, hold on. If David was sitting with Jesus, he'll say, but why are they quoting my psalm and using it to sing? And say, no. Creating me a clean heart. He will say, Jesus, do they understand what they are saying? But didn't you say in Jeremiah, I'll give them a new heart. I'll give them a clean heart. So if they are born again, and if any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. So what happened to their spirit? Is it not their heart that is changed? So why are they saying you should create it again? A heart like yours. I mean, they are nice songs. I also love them. But sometimes I'm singing, I say, why am I going backwards? As I'm singing the song, I'm rather going backwards. I need a song that will take me forward. Hallelujah! Oh, it is real. I'm telling you. Because in those days, they needed to come into the presence of God. Right now, He will have His abiding presence in us. We already have Him here. So the more I sing, I'm coming into your presence, then I'll be going back. Sometimes I sing some of the songs, but I change them. I change them. I say, we in your presence. I say, I have your presence. I have it already. The presence is already there. I'm telling you, if we want to make those adjustments, it must even affect our songs. Religion will hold us, but we must say, free us, religion. What's the meaning of that? You can't hold us again. We will rather sing the word. If what the song is very nice, but it's a contradiction of the word, I will throw that song away and I'll pick the word. Look, what I'm talking about is serious business. There are serious adjustments you have to make. If you want to go, this is what Paul did. Because you can see that the church in Jerusalem and the church that Paul had were very different. Very different. Very different. No wonder he had revelation. Hallelujah! Are you getting what I'm saying? Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because when you hear the word and you don't do the adjustment, you will be the one who is running with spices. Spices. To go and spice up the body of Jesus. And the angels will be standing there and saying, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? But he told you. I'm telling you. Sometimes I remember the first day I said, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I felt that the angels were stirred up, saying, look at her. She has come. She doesn't understand. Yes, because they see people come and say, Lord, you know we are not worthy. Who told you that Christianity is based on your worthiness? It's not on your worthiness. It is on Christ's worthiness. It's not about you. Grace is unearned, undeserved favor. None of us here is worthy. Nobody is worthy. Only one is worthy. And all that he has done is credited to my account. I did nothing. He did it all. Hallelujah! Look, these are words we have to live. If we cannot do the word, he said, do not just be a hearer, but a doer. Doer of the work. Not of the word, though. Did you see it? Of the work. It is work. It is work. Because you begin to sing one of those songs and say, this one, oh, I've thrown it away. I'm making an adjustment in my life. It's work. Because sometimes you're a leader of the songs. You have to look through and say, no, this one is a, we call it in Ghana, Ababase. It's an Ababase song. Oh, hallelujah! Somebody say, I'm making the adjustment. I am making the adjustment. Hallelujah! If we could not make the adjustments, he wouldn't ask us to do it. Because he's given us the ability to do it. And I'm telling you, when you begin to make those adjustments, you'll be amazed. This year, 2017, our father, Bishop Dagger Edward Mills, has declared greatness upon us. You will see the greatness manifest. Because what I have is not different from what Paul had. And what I have is not different from what you have. What I have is what you have. It's the same thing. It's the same Holy Spirit who has come to live in all of us. But if you can't keep doing creating me a cleaner, create, you will always be going back. You don't understand. Because your spirit, what is happening is that then it means that your soul has ascended. And the body and the spirit is down. You're sitting on your spirit by singing those songs. Are we making the adjustment? Are we making the adjustment? Look, I'm telling you, when we do the adjustments, our prayer will change in this church. Our prayer will change. What he says is what I believe. So when I come, I take the word and I use the word. So look at what Jesus did. I want to finish just now because I want to show you what Jesus did. When Jesus came out of the tomb, do you know what Jesus did? It's so interesting. Jesus said, I have to do something. If these people are going to go out into the world everywhere and preach and teach the nations, they can't go like this. So do you know what Jesus did? He took them through new believers class, new believers school. Do you know how he did it? The first people who were going to Emmaus, a village, walking like that. Then they were talking. You know, when something is bubbling in your heart, you'll be talking. So Jesus drew near and he asked Cleopas. He said, what's happening? Why are you both meals? He said, hey, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you no hair? And look, go to Luke 24. The verse, I think verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? 19 says, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Look at the description. I was shocked at their description. Let's read it together. What is it? Which? Huh? Was a prophet. Was Jesus one of the prophets? Was he just a prophet? Which was a prophet? Mighty indeed and well before God and all the people. 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Can you imagine? We thought he would be the one who would deliver Israel. And look at them. It is amazing. But the disciples had a hard time breaking away from Judaism. They had a terrible time. Because look at them. They are thinking of Israel. Nobody could go beyond Israel. Only Paul could do that. They were all thinking of Israel. They thought the Messiah came for Israel. We should have. Ha! Jesus. This is the way they were thinking. Jesus said, if I let these people loose on the world, we are not going anywhere. He said, come. Come and sit down. Then he opened the Bible and began to teach them. So he said, oh fools! Now I'm surprised that Bishop, when he was introducing me, said, maybe God will tell you you're a fool. I said, my God, only by the Holy Spirit. He said, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. all fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Then 20 says, he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then look at 27. He said, then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them. And in all the scriptures, read what comes. What is it? The what? The things what? The things what? Look, if you have to write that thing, the things concerning himself. Things concerning himself. That is very important. What Jesus did is amazing. He began to show them that when you go to all the prophets, who are the prophets? Number one major prophet will be David, isn't it? Isaiah. They are all prophets. But Moses, when we say Moses, it means the law. The law is Moses. So beginning at Moses, maybe beginning at the law or Genesis 2. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. So it means, do you know what Jesus did? He picked Genesis chapter 1 and he said, Genesis chapter 1 was talking about me. He picked Genesis chapter 2. He said, Genesis chapter 2 is about me. He picked Exodus. It's Exodus. Deuteronomy is about me. He picked Lamentation. It says about me. He picked Hosea. He said it's about me. He picked all everything. He said it's about me. He picked creation. He said creation is about me. He picked Adam. He said Adam, that was me. That was me. He picked Abraham. He said Abraham, that was me. Then you see, these are just two people. He said, you are not the, I've taught you. So he said, give me food. Then when they gave him the food, open, broke the bread, immediately said, that there he is, he's the one. And he vanished. But he was looking for the 11. He was looking for them. So Bible says that he went to them, 40. He went to them. And when he went, you know, they were already arguing. He's not the one. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Go to 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. Again, Moses in the law. And in the prophets and in the Psalms. What? What? Jesus did the most important Bible study. This Bible study Jesus did was higher than the parables he said. This, what he did with them, was higher than that. What was he saying? He was saying that all the scriptures put together. When we say scriptures, you now understand. People think that when you look, maybe somebody will, you might not understand, but when you look at the scriptures is really Genesis to Malachi. Yes. Because when he was talking about this, the script, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels had not been written. And the epistles also had not been written. So he was talking to them about Genesis to Revelation, to Malachi. And he was saying, it's about me. It's about me. Now, final scripture. Then they were arguing with him in John chapter 5. These scribes had come and argued. And Jesus said to them, in 39, he said to them, search the scriptures. What is it? He said, investigate the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they, what is the they? The scriptures. Are they which what? Which what? So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. I've given you three scriptures. And all of these says that the scriptures is about Jesus. So listen to this. The scriptures, it cannot be used to explain money. The scriptures cannot be used to explain marriage. The scriptures cannot be used to explain beauty pageants. Because somebody will say, Esther, after all, Esther did, you know, a beauty contest. The scriptures have not got a dual message that this and no. The scriptures have only one message. And that message is what? Jesus Christ! Hallelujah! That is it. The scriptures about Jesus. The scriptures about Jesus. So Abraham, when God said, Abraham, you are blessed. No. It's about Jesus Christ. And in fact, the seed of Abraham is not even Isaac. It's Jesus Christ. Galatians tells us. He said, if you are Abraham's seed, then you are Christ. Hallelujah. The scriptures have only one message. Look, and that's what I'm saying, Sunday, that's what we're going to do. We're going to, when you see all the preachings of Peter, all the preachings of Paul, every one of them was about Jesus Christ. The first day Peter preached after the resurrection of Jesus, what did he say? He said, according to Joel, he said, I will pour my spirit out. He said, what you are seeing is that what Jesus said. Hallelujah. So Joel is about Jesus. He was showing them. He was saying, from now onwards, when you pick the Bible and you are reading, who are you looking for?
Jesus.
Who are you looking for?
Jesus.
Who are you looking for?
Jesus.
Hallelujah! And when you look for Jesus in the scriptures, you begin to make the adjustments. Powerful things will begin to happen to you. Now, let me say one thing, then we begin to pray. Then I pray for you. If you like, take Deuteronomy chapter, is it 28? Are you not afraid of that scripture? The curse of the law. Terrible. He said the heavens will be like brass. You say you have balls. If you disobey, you will. So many things. What Jesus was saying is this. When you take those scriptures, don't begin to read them like how they were reading them of old. No! He said, bring them under the work Jesus Christ has done. Because he says that when you disobey God, you will be cursed. But Bible says to us in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So as you are reading Deuteronomy 28, you should be saying, I am not part of this. I am not part of this. I am not part of this. Hallelujah! Because of what Christ has done. So this the Bible study Jesus did with his disciples that changed their lives forever. 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 Because immediately your eyes are open to this. It means that when you pick the Bible and he says this, you don't begin to cry, hey, this one is, no. Immediately you look at it in the light of what Jesus has done and begin to say, it's not me. Jesus has already carried it. Hallelujah! Do you believe what I'm saying? Have you been blessed by this word? The scriptures have only one message. 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 Put your hands together for Jesus and rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We honor you this evening. Thank you.